Good day, and welcome to Good Heavens, your minimum monthly requirement for astrological observation and edification. Welcome to our new Aquarius Moon edition. The new Aquarius Moon is actually an annular solar eclipse new moon at 6 o'clock a.m. Central on February 17th at 29 degrees. 49 minutes of Aquarius. Well, kids and campers, it's not like nothing's been happening in the world. It's not like there are big changes going on. It's not like it's just another day at the races, as they say. No, everything is changing. Welcome to this season of change. You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of our current considerations about the seasons, it's really interesting. We think that nothing's happening in winter. And yes, the oak tree is dormant. And so we'd look at the oak tree and we say, oh, it's not flowering, it's not setting seed, it's not leafing out. Therefore, it's not doing anything. And no, well, there's plenty of greater errors, but that is a pretty great error in human observation. No, there is not nothing happening. There is an incredible amount of energy that the roots are gathering and storing and getting ready. They're preparing for the magic of emergence. They know it's going to happen. How do I know? Because I have talked to them, that's why. And so my conversations with the oak tree, they have told me unequivocally that winter, it's not a time of nothing. Everything is happening below the surface. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean there isn't anything happening. Do you have a subconscious? I rest my case. Do you have an internal life that no one in the external really knows about unless you bring it out to the external? Why, of course. That's our winter. That's what we have inside as our deep intentions and our authentic truth and our imaginings. That all builds and grows inside of us in the winter. The sun from winter solstice is getting stronger. Yeah, it's way down there by the old Tropic of Capricorn, but guess what's happening? For us northerners, it's moving up each day. And so through Capricorn season, we humans are like, oh, nothing is happening. Oh, it's so cold. Oh, it's so dark and so stark. Oh, I have to be conservative with my resources. And yes, much of that is true, except for the emotional hang-up. Oh, poor me. Oh my gosh, it's winter and nothing's moving forward. Except for the sun. And so when we really think about it, winter is not a time of ending. That happened in autumn. Winter is actually the time of beginning. I know we want to say spring because, you know, we can see it. Right? Because in spring, the seedling pops out of the soil surface and we can say, ha ha, there, proof. But the little baby in mommy's belly, just because it isn't born yet, doesn't mean there isn't anything happening in there. There's something happening in there. We just haven't seen it manifest out into the world with its own birth chart yet. It's still caught in the energy field of the mother. And so when we consider seasons like Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, these are These are seasons that are building. They're filling. They're not retreating or receding. Does that make sense? So just because it's cold out and just because there aren't little green things popping out from the soil surface here in Wisconsin doesn't mean that spring isn't happening. Now, when I lived in beautiful Sonoma County, California, it is at this time of year that I'd be starting whole bunches of stuff. In fact, I'd probably still be harvesting stuff that I planted last year. It was awesome agriculturally. So, it's, you know, a lot of us northerners are not seeing green things pop out of the soil surface. You live in Florida, Texas, coastal California, chances are you're seeing some new growth, right? And it's February, it's still winter, but there's new growth. Explain. Well, the explanation is because of our misconception of winter. What does this have to do with the new Aquarius moon? Everything. Because we think we're down, right? We think we're subterranean. We think we're in the soil, kind of. Nobody can see us. Oh, no, what's happening? Oh, I feel so excluded. Well, you know what's really happening is all of this magic underneath the soil is preparing us for our emergence. All of the energy underneath the soil is preparing for our emergence. Do you get it? See, astrology, it's just nature made into a poem that's resonant with humans' nature. That's all. Astrology as a language of nature is the connective tissue between humanity and the earth. Does that make sense? Because it is a lie. I'm sorry, is this a soapbox I'm standing on? Oh, it appears to be. Because astrology is a lie. That's right. The powers that be want you to think that this is a time of receding. This is a time of letting things go. Yes, yes. And then we get into Pisces, and then we just give it all up to God. Yes, and you know, we fly off into the ethers, into the magic, into the unknown, because it all ends in Pisces and Neptune, the last planet out there, beyond which is Pluto. And we don't talk about that with Neptune. No, we talk about transcendence, right? And Pisces, right? And there we, you know, ascend into the heavens, and then magically things appear. The stork drops off the baby there at Aries season, and it all begins again, and you have been lied to. Because that's not what's happening in nature. And astrology is total and complete BS if it is not rooted in something real. Oh, but the planets and the stars are real. Yeah, but where are the planets and the stars? Well, they're in the galaxy. Well, where's the galaxy? Well, it's in the universe. Well, where's the universe? Right? If we have our focus external, we find that there ain't nothing external solid to hold on to where we can call it reality and say this is. You know what I can call reality and say this is? Corn. Corn is real. The oak tree, that's real. Gravity? Go ahead, tell me it's not real and show me how you can fly. That's real. Now, gravity is a theory, although we have detected gravitational waves, so is that proof of gravity? I'm not sure, but the proof of gravity is the fact that I'm not floating up into the sky right now. The proof of the astrology is in the fact that the seasons cycle, and they cycle rhythmically and predictably, and through the prediction of the flow of the seasons, meaning winter will come after autumn, I can predict it. That kind of, that works. Okay. Saying, oh, on March 20th, I'm going to win the lottery. That's projection. That's illusion. Oh, well, it's obvious that when Mercury retrogrades on February 26th, my car is going to break down, because cars breaking down, completely synonymous with Mercury retrograde. Therefore, I can predict unequivocally that Mercury retrograde will do something, cause something, make something happen, like there's this magic beam coming from Mercury in order to make my car break, and that is called hogwash. That's right. All astrology is, the only thing astrology is the growth cycle of nature. And the growth cycle of nature, we can easily see percolate up in the corn and in the oak tree and in the sunflower. And the essence, the purpose of astrology is to say, hey, human, how can we bloom like the sunflower? How do we stand strong through winter like the oak tree? Right? How do we turn our leaves to the sun and imbibe its radiance? That's all astrology is. Astrology is a poetic metaphor, a poetic representation of the natural cycles and rhythms and seasons of the earth and how they percolate up in our lives, in our emotions, in our psychology, in our thinking processes. Why? Because we're animals. That's right. As much as we don't want to believe it, and we think we're these angelic beings that have inhabited these meat sacks, the truth of the matter is, regardless of that conjecture, what we can prove is the fact that we are physical animals connected to the earth. We're not separate from it. We like to think we are, right? But we're not. And so since we're not, we adhere to all of the laws and rules inherent in the growth cycle of nature. Corn and the sunflower and the oak tree follow the same natural laws as we humans do. It's just we humans have this capacity for imagination and free will and choice, right? We can make things up. We're meaning-making machines, right? Where we can see that there is meaning in blossoming. It's not just, oh, I'm going to open my petals so that I can procreate. No, it's like, oh, I've got something beautiful to share with this world, and here I am blossoming and opening up my creativity, sharing that with the world the way the flower shares that beauty with the world. That's all that we're doing here with this astrology stuff. Has zero to do about the stars and everything to do with corn. So, when people stop me in the elevator and say, hey, astrology's a bunch of BS, oh, can you explain yourself? And I will always retort, well, can you ask the same of corn? And if you can understand how corn works without really knowing all of the processes and the natural laws and how and the why and the wherefore and the negative geotropism and blah, 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 if you can understand that, yeah, corn, it grows and follows a very specific pattern and rhythm in its growth. It's not going to, you know, set, you know, seed before it blossoms. I mean, blah, right? That's astrology. It's the same thing. So any farmer out there, guess what? You're actually an astrologer. You don't know it, and you might not believe it. You might not want to admit it. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to be associated with those weirdos. But sorry, the oak tree, the corn, the sunflower, and the human are all subject to the same laws, rules, and regulations that astrology is. For more information, please contact wdrt.org. 91.9 FM Viroqua and say, where did you find this guy? Well, you know, it was actually Santa Barbara 1997 when I had a t-shirt made by Marky Mister that said Radio Free Driftless. It was awesome. I was wearing that shirt one day on the farm when a new lovely helper came to the farm named Jim, and he had worked in public radio back actually in Sonoma County a little bit, and he's like, oh, nice shirt. I've been thinking about starting a radio station, and here we are right now, folks. What is 10? Got to be 10, 15 years later. I don't know. I'm getting old. At time, you know, it just kind of all blends. But so here we are, 91.9 FM, WDRT.org, Viroqua. Love it. It's Aquarius. It's the ability to innovate. It's the ability to think outside of the box. It's the ability to say, oh, I have this vision. I want to see this radio station manifest. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to imagine it as possible. So I'm going to bring it into form. I'm going to put it on a t-shirt, and then I'm going to wear that t-shirt around, and then somebody's going to see it, and it will, they may already be inspired to start a radio station. They're going to see my shirt, and then they're going to say, wow, that's support from the universe. There's the universe placed on someone's shirt encouraging me to start a radio station, and here we are. I love it. That's just magic. And that's Aquarius. So when we come to this new moon in Aquarius for all of us, we are at the point where we are to resonate, exemplify, act in a way that broadcasts, that shows the world, that suffuses our entire being with the archetype of Aquarius season. What the heck does that mean, Ryan? This is it. So remember how we were talking, about winter solstice being the beginning, right? Because it's the death of the sun after going down since Cancer season. It goes down at the end of Sagittarius. Is finally the end of the universe, and Sagittarius tries to figure out what it all means, and ultimately it means nothing, and so ha ha ha, and we give that seed to Capricorn, and Capricorn then deliberates and says, well, do I want to plant this seed or not? Well, what's the return on investment of my planting this seed? Is this going to provide me with more financial or material security? That's what Capricorn's job is, to get the whole rest of the year kind of figured out and outlined so that we can follow a particular pattern to a particular end, conclusion, or culmination of whatever is intended at Capricorn season. See how that works? And we do this all the time. We do this every minute. Oh, I think I have a thought. I have a thought form. How do I, you know, innovate? What magic must I add to this? All right, is there meaning and purpose? Can I enthuse this? And then we take action on it. And I just described the process from Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces into Aries. See, astrology, also known as the intelligence inherent in the growth cycle of nature. Okay. That's right. Not about stars. Nope. Not about magic beams from somewhere in the universe. Nope. It percolates up from the earth. And so astrology dictates that Capricorn, the return of the sun, the rebirth of the sun, is where we set the intentions for being. It's where we say, to be or not to be. Shall I plant this seed or shall I not? Into what shall this seed grow? I can imagine this seed producing more seed and more seed and more seed, so that when I come to Capricorn next year, Capricorn 2.0, I'll be sitting on my larder with my well-earned comforts. Capricorn. So Capricorn says, all right, let's do this. Capricorn as Ryan the farmer. Capricorn says, all right, I think I'm going to have a season. No, I will have a season. Because as soon as we say, oh, I think I'm going to, I don't know. We haven't really committed to anything. So when we commit to something, boom, choose something, boom. Say, this is boom. We've set into motion a series of events that can only be undone by disentanglement. So we set, all right, I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm gonna do the wash. I'm going to plant a seed. I'm going to have a garden. There's Capricorn season. Then what happens? Then the magic happens. Then we have to figure out our stuff. So Ryan, in this seasonal process, in this process of the growth cycle of nature, Capricorn, the beginning, says, I will, says I can, says I am, says this is, says I, it's the choice, it's the deliberation, it's the commitment to action. We have to commit to the action often before we act, of course, unless it's a reflexive response, but we'll get to that when we talk about Aries season. So, Capricorn, we set the intention. Then what? We're tested. That intention is tested. Are you sure you want to do it? Well, what about this? Well, what about all the other people that have been there long before you? Oh, let's go with the farmer intention to plant a crop. All right, so I want to plant a crop. All right, well, how early do you need to start it? Do you have to get a greenhouse? If you have to get a greenhouse, then we're talking technological season extension. If we're not talking technological season expansion, we definitely have to make sure that our calculations are correct for when we can surmise that the last frost date will be, and then I have to plant this much and this many rows. See the mental calculations that have to occur? We have to imagine all of the obstructions that could occur and what we will do in the event of that catastrophe, calamity, or otherwise change. This is all Aquarius season that I'm talking about. This is Aquarian energy that I'm talking about. We have the intention in Capricorn, then we have to test that. It has to be trialed. It's like if you imagine a seedling, it fills up with water. All right, somebody planted me. Some Capricorn jerk just put me in the soil, and now I have no choice but to break out of this shell. Welcome to the first challenge of Aquarius. I have to break out of this shell. And everything that I'm saying here is metaphor. But the Aquarius is like, I got to break out of this shell. Ah, it's too tight in here. Ah, I don't want to break out of the shell. I don't want to stay in here. Ah, and ah, it sucks inside. And, you know, I don't know what's out there, but it probably sucks outside too. Fine. Break free, breakthrough, breakdown, however you want to call it. We get out of the shell. And then what? Oh, you see, hey, I'm out of the shell. Everything's better. No, you've emerged out of the shell into the cold darkness. So we break out of the shell. Okay, fine, I'm out of the shell. All right, now where am I? I'm in crap. All right, which way do I go? What do I do now? All right, I was supposed to break out of this shell, and now I'm in the cold darkness. Thanks, universe. And you can see how where Aquarius gets some of its attitude, right? Right? And so, all right. Okay. So what do we have? We have magic. And the first sense of real, true magic, undefinable magic. That seedling doesn't have a brain. that seedling doesn't have a central nervous system that's where its heart is talking to its brain, which is talking to its kidneys. No, it's just this little seedling that's emerged from a shell. It doesn't have any leaves. What the hell does it have? It has negative geotropism. And negative geotropism is magic. It is this magic natural phenomenon. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not magic. It's a natural phenomenon. We can't explain it, but it's natural. And so therefore, it's not magic. It's perfectly natural. Sorry, kids. It's magic. Negative geotropism is a sense, an intuition, an inkling that any and all seedlings have to make it grow against the pull of gravity. There is intelligence there. There is a natural, innate intelligence in this now multi-celled little organism that is just popping out of a shell. Has this magic force, this magic intuition in it, if we're to anthropomorphize the seed, has this psychic ability to grow against the pull of gravity. Well, if gravity is pulling me that way, if everything wants me to go that way, well, I've got to go the other way. More insight into the rebellious nature of Aquarius. So the seedling's like, all right, okay, negative geotropism. Awesome. I got some magic. I'm badass. Yeah, all right, let's do this thing. And we're growing up through the darkness. All right, I have no idea where I'm going, but I know I ain't going that way. Sound like Aquarius? And so the seedling's going up. And then what happens? Boom, it hits a rock. Now, welcome to the first challenge. Now, I thought I had this right, this sovereign duty to emerge from the shell and grow through magic into I don't know what, but this rock here is impeding my process. Well, that's just, I've never been so insulted in my life. I mean, I've only been living for 7 or 8 seconds, but I've never been so insulted in my life. A rock? I don't even know what a rock is, but I'm calling it a rock. It's in my way. But nobody... So after emancipating itself from victimhood, the Aquarius seedling moves around the obstruction. Hey, I can adapt. I can innovate. Yeah, no problem, dude. A rock? Okay, well, at first I was a little upset, but now, watch this. I can zig and I can zag. Wow, I can move. I'm not just growing straight up. I've got flexibility. I can innovate. All right. Look at how magic I am. Look at all the things I can do. Woo! I can move around the rock. Okay? This is where Aquarius gets its, you know, penchant for being a weirdo. It's like, yeah, I can move around the rock. Yeah, negative geotropism. Anybody else want to sing the negative geotropism rocks song with me? Anyone? Anyone? Well, insight and the loneliness factor that Aquarius can sometimes feel. But, okay, are you getting this? Because it's not over. And then the seedling's like, all right, yeah, I'm so strong. I can grow around a rock. Look at how awesome I am. I can innovate. I can improvise. And boom, oh, there's a big root there. And, of course, we don't know what that is. But Ryan, the astrologer here, knows that that is something that is big, that's been there for a while, that's established a little status quo action there. Oh, here's somebody who's been there before. Oh, here's somebody who might know more than me. Oh, here's something that looks like establishment or tradition or expected. It's not moving anywhere, so what do I have to do? I have to move. So we pivot again. So we innovate again. First, we hit this kind of dumb, lifeless obstruction. And then we hit an obstruction that's, you know, I guess supposed to be, you know, the professional of everything. But, well, guess what? I'm different and I'm new. So we pivot. Okay, the bucking of tradition that Aquarius loves. Oh, established root. Psh. I'm going to grow into my own tree and establish my own roots. Ha-ha. I'm a nonconformist. And so, Aquarius, this whole process that a seedling goes through, and we haven't even hit the soil surface yet. We've still got Pisces to go through. But here we are in this season, at this new moon, which is really interesting, happening at the end of the season of Aquarius, saying that when we go into Pisces season, which is basically the next day, like 24, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 28 hours later, after the new Aquarius moon, the tone that sets, hey, this next month, let's consider Aquarius. We then move into Pisces. So what happens here is basically what we would call a hybrid, where the season of Pisces is suffused with an Aquarian tone. Okay. And so here's the Aquarian tone now. The Aquarian tone is, we interrupt this program to let you know that you are listening to 91.9 FM WDRT Viroqua, WDRT.org. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, I just told you all the secret of the universe during that commercial break. Wow. Well, geez, now that everything's figured out. Oh, you didn't hear it? Well, that's okay, because I was just playing around anyways. The secret and mystery of the universe is that we're never going to know. That's why we call it Gitchimanidu, right? The great mystery. Anyone who tells you different is trying to sell you something. What am I trying to sell? I ain't trying to sell nothing other than the perception that conventionality might not necessarily be accurate. Just that possibility. I'm just a farmer here. I just plant seeds. Sometimes I just throw them into the wind and hope for the best. And other times, it's quite calculated. Yet, I digress. So, this new moon now. Why are we talking about, why, Ryan, do you do new moon reports, especially if it's at the end of a sign or right before the next season? I mean, shouldn't you be doing like a Sun in Pisces report? Oh, isn't that very interesting? Well, the sun, you can see it. The moon, and especially a new moon, you can't see. You can't see the new moon because the moon is hidden in the rays of the sun. It's all metaphor. So when the moon and the sun come into conjunction, there is a rebooting. It happens every new moon. It happens every winter solstice. There's a rebooting. We're like, okay, here comes the sun that goes down. All right, there it hit 0 point. All right, and now come back up again. All right, hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Sun Goes Round the Cycle. And that's how it works. And that rebirth of the sun at winter solstice, what's so awesome about this universe, this world specifically, is that that happens every month. Every month we have an opportunity to have a brand new start. Every month we have an opportunity to have a brand new year on one level. But the brand new year, that brand new month, that carries the tone of whatever the suggestion is of the season that the new moon is in. 29 degrees of Aquarius, that's an anaretic degree. That's the last degree of a sign or a season. And when we get to the end of something, we want to make sure we got it right. We want to make sure we got it good. Why? Because it ain't happening for another year. So we come to the culminative, is that a good word? Is that a word? Point where things have culminated into this new moon, this last hurrah, this last chance you get, brothers and sisters and everyone in between and on the peripheries. This is the last chance we get to really get the syrupy richness of Aquarius floating on our tongue and seeping through the cells of our body, nourishing it with all of the minimum yearly requirements of Aquarius archetypology. So we want to infuse that into our being. We want to perfect the art of Aquarius within us as we move into the dream state, as we move into the state of enthusing ourselves, as we reimagine the world, our lives, and the universe in Pisces season coming up here, and begin to actually take action on that, we have to first get really, really, really grounded, solid, and aware of who we are and what we want and what we're about. And we cannot allow the rocks or the roots to impede our forward progress. Why? Because we know that deep in our being that we have some sort of program, some mission, some purpose. The way a sunflower has the mission and the purpose of it leaving its shell in order to come into this beautiful blossoming where its seeds can be shared with the little birdies and saved to produce even more sunflowers in subsequent years. And the beat goes on. And none of that can occur if we let the rock stop our growth. So very first, let's go back. We can't do anything if we don't emerge from our shell. So going back to the beginning, that's the first thing that we are called to do at this new moon, at this intention-setting time. We must look in the mirror, all of us, Ryan included, and say, how do I successfully and effectively break out of this shell so I don't take it with me as I grow into blossoming? What blockages, what impediments have I had that have kept me from emerging into my truth? Ask yourself that. Then say, how can I successfully emerge from my own self-imposed restrictions? What magic and intuition must I trust that assists me in my growth? Incredibly important, because there's no rhyme or reason. There's no map. There's no logic. We have to follow the call of our own negative geotropism. And there's no explanation for it. No, I don't know. I just have to buy some arugula. Oh, I just have this craving for arugula with lime juice, olive oil, and salt. I know I sound freaky, but that's what my body needs, and that's what I'm going to eat. And then we eat it, and we don't know what magic happens when the olive oil, salt, and arugula come together. I don't know. Maybe it does something chemically in our biology. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I know that I have the craving for that, and so therefore I must trust that and give that to myself. I know, we might say, I have the craving to write this article or stand on this street corner or talk to this politician or make these other changes in my work or my home or my personal life. So I must trust whatever that call is, even if I don't have a reason. Oh, being authentic with thyself. And we have to trust our intuition. We have to trust the magic within us, even if and especially it makes no sense. And especially, this is actually an indicator, especially if no one else can understand us. Oh, you don't understand why I'm choosing this? Then I guess it's the right choice. Oh, you have a projection on me? Oh, I guess I'm supposed to move in the opposite way, because that's the next thing. We got to move in the opposite direction of the pull of gravity. And what's gravity? Natural. It's easy. It's simple. Is it easier? Which takes more muscles, to stand or to lay down? When most of us, or more of us, is connected to the earth, you know, we're resisting gravity that much less, and it's therefore easier. So we have to resist the impulse to just make it easy, because sometimes we grow down. See? It's just all a metaphor. That's all nature is. That's all astrology is. It's just a metaphor for how we can grow. How we... Well, we're so different than the sunflower. No, we're not. If anything, the sunflower is infinitely more evolved than we are, because we're not arguing with... Because they're not arguing with nature. We are. It's hilarious, humans. So are you understanding what's going on here? It is time for us to set the intention of being the world's greatest seedling emerging from the shell and shunning the pull of gravity. Then when we hit a rock, when we hit an obstruction, when we hit an impediment, then what are we going to do? Cry about it? That's the worst thing we can do. It's natural. Oh, I'm growing, I'm growing. I've never grown before. Oh, this is awesome and amazing. Funk. Yes, of course our natural reaction is, oh, I'm a victim. Our natural reaction is, oh, the world is out to get me. Oh, our natural reaction is, wait a second, I thought I had this purpose or this mission or this vision or I was doing something and it was like, oh, me, and now there's this rock here and I guess I suck. No, that's lies. The rock is there to make you stronger. The rock's there to teach you how to do a little dance. Get down tonight. And so we pivot, do a little groove, we do a little shake our booty, and oh my goodness, we can get around the rock. So please, with this new Aquarius moon, shake your booty. That's what nature is saying. It's quite obvious. It says it right there on line 42. Nature says, shake your booty. That's what it says. Psh, you can argue with me. And so we shake our booty and we go, all right, I'm unique, I'm original, I'm diversified, I'm eclectic, I'm Aquarius, I have purple hair and you don't, so that makes me cool. And then, thunk, we hit a root. And convention says you must have brown, blonde, or black hair. Purple hair, what are you trying to do here? No, we don't do that here in this part of the garden. You know, and so, ooh, geez, what do we do? Oh, gosh, am I supposed to grow with this root? I mean, is that my purpose, that I grow into this root and become this root? And it's not me as a sunflower, it's me as an oak tree, because, you know, why would a sunflower grow under an oak tree? I mean, it doesn't make sense. so we can conform. No! Resist! Move away from that established root. Say, hey, root, you have every right to be here. That's great. You've worked really hard to establish yourself, and you just keep on growing now there. Yes, bye-bye, then. And then we move away from the root. We pivot. We do a little dance, sing a little song. Yeah? Or first we sing a little song, then we do a little dance. Then we get down tonight. Yep, let's get funky. So we get a little funky with that root and say, oh, you want to show me which way to go, which way to grow? All right, well, check out my little dance. And so we then pivot. And then we're by that root, we're called weird. You weirdo. Okay, with your purple hair and sunflower on your shirt, you go. All right. And we can't allow any judgment, projection, assumption, and condemnation by that root to dissuade us from our upward growth. All of this is happening right now. All of this is happening reflected in our lives and in the life and in our collective lives. Are we collectively needing to emerge from a shell of safety? Yeah, because things aren't safe. Are we collectively needing to trust our intuition at this time? Because some of the information out there might just be a little questionable. Yeah, we are. Right? You see how this goes? Are we individually and collectively coming up to some obstructions that we need to figure out ways to move around? Yeah, we do. Are we up against old establishment? You know, some people have been here for a while that might not necessarily be the most ethical people on the planet. Yes, we are. So what are you gonna do about it? I haven't even brought in the fact that this is an eclipse. I haven't even brought in the fact that a couple days after this eclipse, on the 20th of February, Saturn and Neptune come into a conjunction in the sign of Aries at the very beginning of Aries, which hasn't occurred since 4362 BC. Now, Saturn and Neptune have, I'd call it a 36, maybe 37-year orbital cycle when Saturn and Neptune come into conjunctions every about 36, 37 years. And so that's not new. What happened the last time this occurred? The Soviet Union dissolved. The last time, now this is February 20th, the last time the conjunction that occurs on February 20th occurred, the Berlin Wall fell. Okay. Saturn and Neptune come into conjunction again every 36, 37 years. Last time was in Capricorn and the wall fell. I love astrology. This time it's in Aries, which again... Now, it's happened in Aries. It hasn't happened at this point, the 0 degree world point, they say, of Aries, where the seedling emerges into the world. Okay? It's a lie. It's not the beginning of the zodiac. That's, you know, throw a dart, you know, for the beginning of the zodiac. But the things that happen under the surface before we can see them. When we see them, that's Aries. Yeah, the baby's born. Yeah, we do a birth chart. When the baby's born, it separates from the mother's energy field, takes on its own life, its own being. There's the birth chart. Was it alive before then? Yes, in the energetic field of its mother. There's a difference. And so... what does this mean? That means that there has been Saturn and Neptune on some level that has been percolating underneath the soil surface in our subterranean imaginings, in our internal development, there's been a Saturn and Neptune energy that is now ready to emerge. And what is Saturn? Saturn wants reality. And what is Neptune? Neptune wants imagination. And if we combine Saturn and Neptune, imagination and reality, we have two possibilities. Multiple possibilities, but two sides of one coin. One side of that coin is doing everything we possibly can to make our dreams real as we eschew the superfluous. There are dreams that can actually occur, actually come into reality. I want to see a beautiful garden. And we work really hard and we produce a beautiful garden. It's possible. It takes work, Saturn, to produce the vision of our dreams, right, Neptune? It can be done. So we are now in a place, this is so awesome, this place, Saturn, Neptune, let me go back 36 years ago or so, at fall of the Berlin Wall, the fall of the Soviet Union. Okay, that's actually a rebirth of what was possible. It is a rebirth of what was possible for the Soviet bloc countries. You know, Ukraine, Lithuania, Estonia could all find their independence and sovereignty. It was awesome. Germany was unified. It was awesome. That's the last time this happened. So it's very possible, kids and campers, that something really beautiful can come from this. Now, check this out. 4362 BC, what did we have? We had tribes coming out of the forest or out of their little locales and forming city-states. We had the beginning of Sumer and ancient Egypt at this time. So we could say that February 20th, the exact conjunction of Saturn and Neptune at zero Aries that hasn't been around for 6,000 years, guess what? We're at the end of a 6,000-year cycle. I'm going to say that again. We are at the end of a 6,000-year cycle, which means we're at the beginning of what could be a 6,000-year cycle. That's so amazing. So access your memory banks, if you will, in your DNA. Access your memory banks and go back 6,000 years. Wow, we were coming out of the woods and, you know, forming these cities, you know, states, or you call up the farmer and say, bring us some tomatoes. Or, I mean, that's a caricature, but. So, 6,000 years. Oh, that sounds like Western civilization. So, Western civilization, you had a good run, didn't you? Yeah. We did some great things. Invented the nuclear family. Yeah. Invented nuclear energy, right? We're able to study the nucleus. Yeah. Now what? What is the next iteration of human existence? Yeah, isn't that so exciting? We are on the precipice of that change. Wow. You know, we always said, oh, you were born to, you know, be alive at this time. Yeah, if you're listening to this, you were born to be alive at an epochal change. This isn't just the fall of the Berlin Wall. This could be the rebirth of human culture, society, civilization as we know it. Now, that's quite bodacious. And, you know, I'm just looking at cycles and rhythms and seasons here. So for that to be some kind of prediction, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what we're going to evolve into. But the beauty of this new moon in Aquarius is that somewhere in all of our individual programs, somewhere in all of our individual codes, if you will, are our unique, authentic, individual intelligence. Somewhere in there, in each of us, is the pattern and the program for what is to emerge. That's so awesome. So, yes, we are seeing lots of darkness that is happening on the planet right now. We are seeing lots of shadows. We are seeing even more of hidden darknesses exposed. That's what happens when you make ghee. That's what happens when you make clarified butter. We want the humanity to become a little more pure because some impurities have found themselves saturated in our butter. So we got to put it in a pan and heat it up. The pan is on the burner, and the butter is being heated. And the butter of our civilization is heating up. And so, therefore, all of the scum is rising to the surface. And when we see it there on the surface, it is easy to be removed. So that's all that's happening right now. Oh my gosh, things are so dark. Oh, things are so bad. Oh, things are so horrible. And we should be celebrating because we can see it. It's more obvious. And then all we got to do is whoosh, and remove it from the top of the pan. So, what is your unique gift? What is your unique vision? What is your magic intelligence? What is the formative forces inside of your being that wish to be the sunflower or the oak tree or the purple-haired one or whatever it is? You get to be exactly who you are. You get to be exactly what you want to be. There's absolutely nothing, short of course, ethics and natural law, telling you can't do or be exactly who you want to be. So as long as we are in our heart and in our joyous place and want to contribute like the beauty of our sunflower to this world and not have everything be, you know, breed with everything so that it's a sunflower hybrid, as long as, you know, we honor each other's individuality and authenticity and their uniqueness, then we can say, oh, hi, purple-haired flower. Oh, hi, green-haired flower. Oh, hi, blonde-haired flower. Wow, look at all these amazing flowers, and each one is unique and each one is different, and that's you. So the intention, go to the mirror, boy. And, well, you know, that was a quote from Tommy, the Who, go to the mirror. You know, in fact, that's kind of how Tommy in that rock opera, that's how Tommy was able to heal himself by observing himself. Go to the mirror. So, go to the mirror and ask yourself who you really are. Be that person, and all will be well. This has been a production of WDRT Studios, 91.9 FM Viroqua, Wisconsin, and found on the web at wdrt.org. Thanks to Terry O'Connor for producing this program. This is Ryan Evans with Good Heavens, who can be found on the World Wide Web at www.ryanevansastrology.com. Until next time, be well.